अस्मिन्
इन द आश्रम
वाहु किलः
इंडीड सह भरत महाराज एकलः अलोन ओनली पुला आश्रम उपवने इन द गार्डन सिचुएटेड इन पुला आश्रम विविध कुसुम किसलय तुलसी का अंबु भी विद द वैरायटीज ऑफ फ्लावर्स ट्वीग्स एंड तुलसी लीव्स एज वेल एज द एज वेल एज विद वाटर कंदमुला फला उपाहार है बाय ऑफरिंग्स ऑफ रूट्स बल्ब्स एंड फ्रूट्स चा एंड समीहा मनहा परफॉर्मिंग Bhagavatah of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aradhanam worshipping. Vivittah purified. Upaharata being freed from. Vishaya abhilasah desire for material sense gratification. Upavrita, increased. Upasama, tranquility. Param, transcendental. Nirvritim, satisfaction. Avapa, he obtained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the gardens of Pula Ashrama, Maharaj Bharata lived alone and collected a variety of flowers, twigs and tulsi leaves. He also collected the water of the Gandaki river as well as various roots, fruits and bulbs. With this he offered food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev and worshipping him he remained satisfied. In this way his heart was completely uncontaminated and he did not have the least desire for material enjoyment. All material desires vanished. In this steady position, he felt full satisfaction and was situated in devotional service. Please repeat. In the gardens of Pula Ashrama, Maharaj Bharat lived alone and collected a variety of flowers, twigs and tulsi leaves. He also collected the water of the Gandaki river as well as various roots, fruits and bulbs. With this he offered food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev and worshipping him he remained satisfied. In this way his heart was completely uncontaminated. He did not have the least desire for material enjoyment. All material desires vanished. In this steady position, he felt full satisfaction and was situated in devotional service. Purport. Everyone is searching after peace of mind. This is obtainable only when one is completely freed from the desire for material sense gratification and is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayaj Chati. Worship of the Lord is not at all expensive. One can offer the Lord a leaf, flower, a little fruit or some water. The Supreme Lord accepts these offerings when they are offered with love and devotion. In this way, one can become freed from material desires. As long as one maintains material desires, he cannot be happy. As soon as one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, his mind is purified of all material desires. Then one becomes fully satisfied. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radoksaje ahaituki apratihata yatma suprasiddhati. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janatesu vairagam nanam chayad ahitukam. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which man can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Ahituki apratihata. In order to completely satisfy the self, by rendering devotional service unto the personality of God at Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6 and 7. This famous verses. Prabhupada continues. These are the instructions given in Srimad Bhagavatam, the supreme Vedic literature. One may not be able to go to Fula Ashrama, but wherever one is, one can happily render devotional service to the Lord by adopting the process mentioned above. Om Agnana Timirandashya Gyananjala Gyananjana Salaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tashmahai Shri Gurvarama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Swahapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuktapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vatam Tam Sajeeva Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Charatpate Gopesha Gopika Kansa Raja Kansa Namaskutte Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatravyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, this is an interesting pastime we are hearing of Bharat Maharaj. Actually, it is more interesting for me personally because this was the first canto that I was given. If some of you might be here, there was a devotee called Kripa Sindhu Prabhu here. And because I was from the Jain background, he said, he gave me this canto, fifth canto from his altar bookshelf and told me, there is about Rishabhdev, you worship Rishabhdev, so there is Bhagavatam mentions about Rishabhdev, so you should go and read this canto. And he gave me this canto, he was very merciful to give fifth canto from his altar. So that is why I especially have some kind of attraction for this canto especially, because this was the first canto which I read. Usually it is said that we should not jump over, but devotees are merciful, they sometimes to get us some taste in Srimad Bhagavatam, they cross the borders. But so I'm thankful to Kripa Sindhu Prabhu, who is in Bombay right now. He's working for Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So in one way, this canto is different to the previous cantos as well, because the first two cantos are the lotus feet of the Lord. And the third and fourth canto are the thighs of the Lord, it is mentioned. Also, His Grace Gurujan Prabhu has got the summary of the first four cantos, which is known as Unveiling His Lotus Feet. And so many of the acharyas, they consider the first four cantos are as the feet of the Lord. And then this week he released a book, which is a summary of fifth and sixth canto. And the name of that book is The Wheel Begins to Part. So the veil begins to part. So we know there is upper portion of the cloth and lower portion of the cloth. So fifth canto is known as the navel of the Supreme Lord. So now that is the portion where the cloth separates. So fifth canto and onwards we are approaching to the face of the Lord, which is 10th canto. And we are going from 5th canto onwards, 5th, 6th cantos onward, we are approaching the Madhya. Madhya means the middle portion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we see in the 5th canto, until the first two cantos is like putting a basis, foundation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Jiva Goswami mentions in his Tattva Sandarbha that the first two cantos are the ashraya for the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions at the end of second canto, he says that if by the first two cantos your material desires have not gone, you should go back to the first canto. You should not go to third canto. So in one sense, of course, we continue reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but the point Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing and the acharyas are emphasizing that the first two cantos are putting the foundation for any devotee. So one should carefully study the first two cantos. So first two cantos are setting the foundation. The third canto onwards we begin to hear the meeting between Maitreya and Vidura and how they met and the interaction between them, then the birth of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, how Kashyap and Diti meet and at the inauspicious time and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born. And at the end of third canto we hear about Kardama Muni and Devhuti and Kapila Muni. How Kapila Muni was born and Kapila Muni instructs Sankhya philosophy to Devhuti. And at the end of third canto, Kapila Muni describes about bhakti, devotional service in the mode of ignorance, passion and goodness. So which is the fourth canto actually. So the fourth canto is bhakti in the mode of ignorance is Daksha. It begins with Daksha. Daksha Yagna. How we perform Yagna and but he offered the fruits of the Yagna to Vishnu but offending the pure Vaishnava. So that is bhakti in the mode of ignorance. And then comes the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, which is bhakti in the mode of passion, because there was some material desire in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj. Of course these all are pure devotees, but Kapila Muni and Sukhdeva Goswami, there is a sequence which is going on in Srimad Bhagavatam. So at the end when Kapila Muni explains about three kinds of bhakti, Sukhdeva Goswami begins to explain these three pastimes. And at the end of canto 4 there is a pastime of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj demonstrates bhakti in the mode of goodness. When Prithu Maharaj was performing Yagna, Indra stole the horse because he already had performed 99 and he was going to perform 100th horse sacrifice, and Indra kept stealing the horse, but Prithu Maharaj forgave Indra even after that. So that is bhakti, the topmost bhakti in the mode of goodness. So the fourth canto is basically explaining devotional service, bhakti in different modes. So really from fifth canto we start to hear about this all kings, starting from Priyavrata and then Agnidara, King Nabi, Rishabdev, and now we have come to Maharaj Bharat. So now we are starting to get into the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam from 5th canto. In 6th canto there is a test, because at the end of 5th canto what happens? Anyone knows? Yeah, so as we are going through 5th canto we will come to the planetary position, which is one of the Atra Sarga Visarga says Thanam Poshanam Uttaya Manvantara Ishanukata Nirudha Mukte Ashra. These are the 10 subject matters. So positions of the planetary systems is one of the subject matter which is explained at the end or middle of 5th canto. So we will hear about the planetary positions, and it's really you really have to be on a different platform or consciousness just to hear Srimad Bhagavatam at that point, because even great devotees, big devotees who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam in, thoroughly, they are able to not coincide all the philosophical points of the plan, because it is beyond our imagination. Imagine what Lord Brahma, who is the most intelligent person in the universe, was bewildered, because he also did not know at the beginning of the creation what is to be done. And the Lord had to create a blueprint so that he can create. So even he was bewildered, and we are trying to, with our so-called tiny, mini tiny or whatever, infinitesimally small brain, trying to understand. So of course we have got acharyas and all their commentaries to explain us to a certain degree, but still it's bewildering for us. So in the middle and at the end of fifth canto, we'll come to this thing, which is the planetary position, and at the end there will be description of the hellish planet. So hearing this, Parikshit Maharaj, who is very compassionate, naturally is very compassionate to the devotees, he's asking Sukhdev Goswami, what is the, because he was afraid, he thought that, not for himself, but he was afraid for the people of Kali Yuga. He thought, how are these people of Kali Yuga going to get out of the cycle of birth and death? How are they going to not even get out of the cycle? How are they going to avoid hell? Because the activities of future generation is all going to be hellish. They're going to suffer in hell forever. They will never be able to get out. So he's asking this question to Sukhdev Goswami. And sixth canto, which is the madhya of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukhdev Goswami puts a test in front of Parikshit Maharaj. And he gives different difference by prayaschit, by religious rituals, by different activities they will be able to. But Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied. And at the end, Sukhdev Goswami mentions, yes, you are right. It is only by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. And for that, he gave the past, he narrated the pastime of Ajamal. So we see this fifth and sixth canto are revealing the will and veil of to the face of the Lord. So we are slowly, slowly, gradually coming to the smiling face, which is the tenth canto. We are almost at the middle now of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this pastime in fifth canto is also very important, because it describes the journey of Bharat Maharaj. So right from his birth, we know he was born to the Supreme Lord himself. He was a son of Supreme Lord. So he had a high parentage. He had birth. He had a good birth. And then he was king of the universe. In fact, he ruled so perfectly that the whole Ajanabha Varsh, which was previously known as Ajanabha Varsh, was named after him as Bharat Varsh. So he had not only good birth, but he had opulence, Aishwarya. And then he was the most capable of all the 100 sons of Rishabdev. So he was enlightened by the Lord himself how to rule. So he was knowledgeable. He was a Kshatriya, very powerful. So he had Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribir. What are these four Kunti Maharani mentioned in the 8th chapter of 1st canto? These are roadblocks actually. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribir, Idamanam, Madhapuman, Naivarati, Abhidatuman, Tam, Akinchana, Gocharam. So these are actually the roadblocks. But it is mentioned here that, in fact, these were not the roadblocks for Bharat Maharaj. These were, in fact, benedictions for Bharat Maharaj. So, why is it that for Bharat Maharaj it was a benediction or not the roadblock, as Kunti Maharani prays to the Lord, that don't give me all these things, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribir, but whereas this was all given. So, Acharya's point of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that there are two kinds of Nishkam Karma Yogi. So the highest platform that we can reach in bhakti is, in Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, is in the yoga ladder, we know. So the highest platform we reach is Nishkam Karma Yoga. What is Nishkam Karma Yoga? That's right. So we are working for the satisfaction of the Lord without any personal desires, without any material desires. So Bharat Maharaj was on that platform. So Acharya has mentioned that there are two kinds of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentioned there are two kinds of Nishkam Karma Yogi. One is who are averse to wealth. So they are working for the satisfaction of the Lord, but they don't want wealth. Averse to wealth. And the second kind of devotee is those who are Nishkam Karma Yogi, but they don't mind wealth. Whether Lord gives them wealth or they don't give, Lord does not give them wealth, they're equipoise. So the first kind of devotee was, and we see this very similarity of this pastime in Sudama Brahmana's pastime. So the first kind of devotee which we described was those who are averse to wealth, opulence. And so they don't want, they want to work for the Lord, but without any material desires, but they don't want wealth. They purposefully, they try to remain akinchana, as Kunti Maharani prays. So in Bharat Maharaj's pastime, we see this in Jada Bharata, who was averse right from the beginning of his childhood. As soon as he was born, he did not want to get involved into his father's business. His father was a great pandit. He was a great brahmana. And his father tried to impart all the knowledge to Jada Bharata. But he said, no, I'm not going to get involved. And so that was strongly his desire to remain akinchana. So that is why the Lord fulfills his desire and he remained akinchana. He was called Jada Bharata. And same with Sudama Brahmana. Sudama Brahmana, and this point comes from Sudama Brahmana section, where Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on this pastime and says both Jada Bharata and Sudama Brahmana are on the similar platform. Because Sudama Brahmana, if we understand, this week, we had a retreat by Sachinand Maharaj, Burjan Prabhu, Jagatani Mataji. So in that retreat, these two pastimes were mentioned of Sudama Brahmana and the Govardhan pastime, how Indra offended Krishna. So from this retreat, I've collected some points which will be the basis of today's class. So the point we are discussing is the Sudama Brahmana was in the beginning of his life, he was averse. Imagine, he was a devotee of the Lord, he was a friend of the Lord. So why was he in that poverty-stricken condition where he did not even have enough to eat a meal? One meal was not enough. Like, they did not even have sufficient for feeding the family to the kids. And it is mentioned that Sudama Brahmana's, all the veins were, it practically did not have any flesh on his body. And his clothes were torn. He did not even have a pair of clothes to wear. So this was because he had a desire to remain averse from opulence. And Lord fulfills that desire. So it is mentioned that Jada Bharata and Sudama Brahmana both have that kind of thing. And the second kind of devotee, again we see in the same personalities. What was the second kind of devotee? Who accepts, but he don't mind whether he is rich or poor, but he will still continue his service to the Lord. And we see in the Bharat Maharaj pastime, he accepted, even as he performed whatever opulences he got, we heard that he was engaging that in the sacrifices, in different sacrifices he did. He was engaging all his opulence in the sacrifice, and at one point, what did he do? Renounce. He ruled the kingdom for 10 million years something, right? 10 times 1000, something like that. So he ruled the kingdom for a very, very long time. And at one point, he just became detached and left the kingdom. Gave it to his 5 sons, divided the kingdom among 5 sons and left the kingdom, renounced. And what we are hearing now is he performing pure devotional service just on the bank of Gandaki River. So this is Bharat Maharaj, and we see the same thing in Sudama Brahmana. At one point he had a desire because his wife was insisting, he went to Dwarka, he met Krishna, and even though he did not tell Krishna anything, but he was given all the opulence because Krishna knows the heart of each and every devotee. So he had that desire, okay, let me have some wealth. And Krishna fulfilled that desire also. And then when he went back, what did he see? He saw the big palace with hundreds and thousands of maid servants, and his wife was in opulent clothes, his wife had become demigoddess, like she looked like goddess of fortune, and then his body also transformed into perfect youth, healthy and beautiful, handsome body. So, but then still again he was just continuing his devotional service. So we see this similarity, and we see this in Srila Prabhupada also. Srila Prabhupada tried to become rich and then said, I'll preach. But Krishna did not want that. So Krishna brought him, his business failed, his family, he left his family, and then he went to Vrindavan. And he was in fact struggling to even publish his book. Published Back to Godhead, not a book, Back to Godhead magazine. He was struggling for that. But then Krishna brought him to US, and then he flourished. He opened up 108 temples in the short span of 12 years. So Krishna gave all the opulence. And at one point Prabhupada makes this point that when he went and saw in one of the art galleries, there was a poster of a yogi renouncing all the wealth. Srila Prabhupada said, take my photograph and I'm welcoming all the wealth. If anybody wants to give any number of wealth, I'll just take it, accept it. And Prabhupada made a point that if somebody gives me $1 million in the morning, by end, I'll spend it all in printing books. So, this was a consciousness of Srila Prabhupada, and we see these similarities in Bharat Maharaj and Sudama as well. So, Janma Ishara Shruta Shribir, it did not make any difference for Bharat Maharaj or any of the pure devotees. Those who are at the platform of pure devotional service, for them these things are irrelevant, because they are performing their activities, they are performing their bhakti, devotional service on a different plane. There is an analogy given as the ripples on the surface of the ocean has nothing to do with the what is going on beneath it. So we might see there are ripples on the surface of the ocean, but beneath there is totally different thing going on. Sometimes the ocean is quiet and calm beneath, or sometimes there is a huge current going on. If you get into the current, you are almost dead, like you cannot survive. So whatever is going on the surface of the ocean, it's totally different what is going on beneath. So similarly for a devotee, it is mentioned, whatever externals are, it really doesn't make a difference, because internally they are on a different platform. And we see this from different acharyas, Goswamis. They were externally so renounced. They were just in one loincloth. They were moving around Vrindavan, sleeping under the tree every night, different tree every night. But internally they had high consciousness. They were all they were in different platform. So we hear here that Bharat Maharaj had already reached the platform of Bhava. Next verse we will hear how his he had engaged in devotional service and started to show all the aesthetic symptoms that were manifesting in his body. And then what happens? He falls down and he gets a body of a deer, and then he achieves perfection in the life of a Jad Bharata. So this story is beautifully explained how Bharat Maharaj goes top, falls down and again comes back, which is relevant for most of us, because we are starting at the platform where we have fallen down. So the point here it is mentioned is that Lord always protects his devotees. This is one of the things that we have to take from this section, this pastime of Bharat Maharaj. Because imagine, and this was again told by his Gurujan Prabhu, like if we close our eyes and imagine that Lord, who is the supreme person, is the most powerful, he is caring for us, he is waiting for us, and he is trying to help us at each and every moment, he is looking over us. We won't do that in Bhagavatam class, we all sleep. So don't close the eyes. But the point is that if we have that faith, if we believe that Krishna is always trying to bring us closer to him, he is waiting for us, then the devotees will be relieved. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranash Yati. Let Arjuna declaring boldly that my devotee will never perish. And then he, another verse he says, Ananas chinta yanto ma yejana parimpasate teshana nitya api yuktanam yogakshema vaham aham. He says, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. So how come we may think, how come Bharat Maharaj fell down when he was at the Bhava platform? So what is our position? If Bharat, a personality like Bharat Maharaj, who is trying to, now he's showing at this point in the past time, he's showing aesthetic symptoms. Next verse we will hear. He's showing aesthetic symptoms, but again from that Bhava platform, if he can fall down, how are we going to be protected? So, and again, another verse, Neha Bikraman Asosti Patevaya Vidyate, Svalpam Apiyasya Dharmasya Trayato Mahato Bhayat. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that even if one does little bit of devotional service, he can be saved from the most dangerous situation in his life. So how can we understand all these verses where Krishna is taking a guarantee that one never falls down from whatever position he is on? And how come Bharat Maharaj fell down? So the acharyas point out that this pastime is basically put in here just to show the protection of the Lord. So this pastime clearly shows that Bharat Maharaj was always protected. Even after he fell down, he became attached to the deer. What happened at that point? He got a body of a deer. So how did Lord protect him? Because in the body of a deer, he remembered his past life. So why did he fall down? In this verse it is mentioned that in the gardens of Pula Ashrama, Maharaj Bharat lived alone. So he lived alone. That was his mistake. So in the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj had a recollection of his past life. So that was a mercy of the Lord. Any of us remember our past life? No. But a deer remembered his past life. So that was the protection of the Lord. That he remembered his past life as Bharat Maharaj. And what did he do then in the body of the deer? He went and associated with the sages. He lived in the ashram of the sages. And he heard them. So he rectified the mistake which he did in his previous life of living alone. So he went and resided in the ashram of association of all the devotees. So that was the protection of the Lord. In the span of eternity, a life of a deer is like 15-20 years. So that is nothing. So then he got a body of, after he completed his life as a deer, what happened? He got a body of Jad Bharata, human body. But Lord protected there as well, by giving him remembrance of all his previous births. So he remembered his body as Jad Bharata, Bharat Maharaj, body as a deer, and then he was Jad Bharata. So he completely remained aloof and he was constantly meditating on the Lord. So this is one of the important points which comes in this section. Sorry, there is no watch here. Okay. So this is one of the points which comes in this pastime, that one has to come, because in this verse we are hearing like he was worshipping the Lord with Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. So he was worshipping the Lord. So, and in the body of Jad Bharata, and in the body of a deer, he was hearing from the devotees, in the association of the devotees. And in the body of Jad Bharata, what was he doing? His meditation was constantly on the Supreme Personality of God. So the point comes in this section of in the pastime is, whatever Shravanam, Kirtanam we are doing, hearing, chanting we are doing, that should lead us to Smaranam, meditation. Again, Sachinandan Maharaj has a new book which is coming out, which is basically on meditation. He has got a book on chanting, hearing, and now he has written a book on meditation. So this is one thing that we have to come. Our Shravanam and Kirtanam has to lead, because how much time are we going to hear in a day? We can hear some 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, some people hear. How much time we are going to chant? 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours. But when we perfect those two processes, we come to the stage of smaranam, because smaranam happens constantly. And this is one of the points Srila Prabhupada has told us many things, right? One should hear, one should read his book, one should chant. But then Srila Prabhupada mentions the basic two principles of our entire philosophy, which is always remember Krishna, never forget him. So this is the whole point of whatever sadhana bhakti we are doing, devotional service we are doing. We have to come to this point that we are always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. So our consciousness should be, even though externally we might be doing different activities, different services, but internally that should be our mood, that we should constantly be chanting, we should constantly be meditating on the pastimes, we should constantly be hearing. So again in that pastime it is mentioned patram in here it is mentioned patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayashati tadham bhakta upharadam ashnami prayatatma. Krishna says, so this verse is mentioned twice actually. Once it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 9.26, the chapter's name is the most confidential knowledge. Krishna reveals, so most confidential knowledge is Krishna reveals himself in Bhagavad Gita. And the same verse is mentioned in the 10th canto, 80th chapter, 4th verse, in the Sudama Brahmana pastime. When Sudama brought some chipped rice, and Krishna knew that Sudama has brought something for him, he took away, snatched away the chipped rice. Because when Sudama entered Dwarka, or when he left for Dwarka, he told his wife that it's not good to go empty-handed to see a friend. So his wife went and brought some chipped rice, bagged some chipped rice. And it is mentioned there are four handful of chipped rice, which were not even properly cooked. It was stale. Because when you go begging, you don't get anything freshly cooked. So she brought from neighbors, which was four handful of chipped rice, which was stale. And Sudama could only afford that, and he took it in one of the cloth, which he did not even have enough cloth to wear. So he took from one of the dirty cloths, put those chipped rice into that, and took it for Krishna. So, first of all, the chipped rice was stale, and there wasn't motor cars or vehicles. So he walked from Porbandar, which is in the Gujarat, southern part of Gujarat, to Dwarka. So it's not that he reached in few minutes or hours. He took days to reach Dwarka. So imagine the condition of those chipped rice. So he brought those chipped rice, and when he entered Dwarka, he saw the opulence of the Lord. Dwarka, it is mentioned in 10th canto, it is mentioned, even the roads are made of jewels. The pillars are made of gems, like all the pillars are embedded with gems. So when he saw the opulence of the Lord, he was feeling ashamed whether he should give this chipped rice or not, which were completely gone. It's not edible at all. So he was feeling ashamed that he shouldn't give this. But Lord made him sit on the bed, on his bed, worshipped him, washed his feet. And then he said, okay, you have brought, I know you are a Brahmana, you would not come empty-handed. So you must have brought something for me. Lord knows the heart of his devotee. So he said, you must have brought something for me. And he snatched the bag of chipped rice from Sudama's hand. But at that point now, it's interesting. Imagine the Supreme Lord, who has such an opulence, and he has got such a bag of dirty cloth with stale chipped rice. So he took one handful, and there were only four handful, by the way. So it wasn't like much of it. So he took one handful and ate those chipped rice. And immediately, Rukmini was having the chamara in the hand. She understood. Rukmini Devi is the goddess of fortune, right? She understood that this chipped rice is not suitable for the Supreme Lord to eat. So she snatched away that bag and said, very cleverly said, that please leave something for us. When Krishna was about to have the second handful. Because she understood that Lord is ye athamam prapadyante tam tatayiva bhajam aham. Lord reciprocates with a devotee as he surrenders. So now she understood that Sudama has brought something which was beyond his means. He did not own. He brought something begging. He brought something which was he did not possess, more than what he possessed. But there is nothing in the world which is more than Lord possesses. So if Lord has to reciprocate with Sudama, one handful, Lord has given the entire universe to, everything in the creation has been given to Sudama Vipra, Sudama Brahmana. So Lord gave just by eating one handful everything. If he would have had the second handful, Lord and Rukmani had to be the servant. Because this is, which pastime shows this? The pastime of Bali Maharaj. Lord asked for 3 steps of land. In the 2 steps, Lord covered entire possessions of Bali Maharaj. He did not have the 3rd step. So what did Bali Maharaj do? That this body is still mine, under my control. You can step on my head. And Lord stepped on his head. So similarly, if Lord would have had in one handful, Lord gave everything that he possessed to Sudama. If he would have had second handful, Lord and Rukmani and all the queens would have had to serve Sudama. Which was not a problem for the Lord himself, but for Rukmani, she cannot see her Lord serving someone else. So that is why Rukmani stopped the Lord from eating the second handful. So, and Lord was feeling, and this is another point which comes from that pastime, that when Sudama left Dwarka, Lord did not offer him anything. So Sudama had come, Lord knew the heart of Sudama, that Sudama had come to ask for some opulence. But Lord never gave him anything while he was in Dwarka. To just to satisfy him as a thank you gift or something like that. He never gave. Because he was feeling kind of ashamed of himself that he's not able to equally reciprocate with Sudama. So this was the mood of the Lord. And that is why he never gave anything to Sudama when he was leaving Dwarka. And all the while Sudama's consciousness is so nice. In that verse it is mentioned that Lord never gave anything and Sudama is thinking that Lord gave everything to me when I met him. What was that? And Acharyas point out that he gave his association. So Lord gave the association of himself, which is the topmost thing a devotee would want. So this pastime shows how Sudama got everything. When he went back, he saw the big palace, his wife was dressed in opulence, and his body also became converted into a youth body, a powerful body, a beautiful body. So he received everything when he returned back to his place. So Lord always protects. So the point, we are coming back. The point here, it is mentioned in the Bharat Maharaj pastime, is that Lord always reciprocates with his devotee. Lord always protects his devotee. In the whole pastime, we see this point coming in, that the Lord protected him. Okay, I'll stop here if there are any questions or comments. Yes, ma'am.
So, Gandharva, if he can remember his past life and attitude.
No, even there are many people in this material world. If you have got Ashtasiddhis, then you can remember your past lives. So, Jad Bharat was still in the human form on this material planet. But he remembered Lord. That was the protection of the Lord, that he allowed him to remember his past so that he does not fall down again. And he actually made use of that because he knew he was so opulent, he was Bharat Maharaj. Then it took, because of falling down, attachment to the deer, he fell down in the body of a deer. and now he has got this opportunity to again come to the human form. So then there was a mercy of the Lord. So then he continued, he remained aloof from all the externals and remained as a avaduta. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.